Hello and welcome to Inside Commodity Futures. I'm your host, Craig Turner. I'm also a broker here at Daniels Trading and author of Turner's Take Newsletter. You can find me at turnerstake.com, turnerstakeag.com, or on Twitter at turnerstake. Alrighty, so Merry Christmas, everyone. This is going to be our last podcast of the week. The markets will close early on Friday. The livestock and grain markets close at noon. Some of the international markets, as I like to call them, like energies and currencies, metals, will be open till 4 electronically. But anything that has anything to do with pits closes at noon. U.S. traditional U.S. commodity markets like softs, livestock, grains will typically close at noon. Softs might be open a little bit longer, but probably not. They're probably at noon also. You can check with the ICE on that. And one thing, and I do not know why the USDA does this. I'm sure someone's asked them before. But we do have the cattle on feed tomorrow at 11 a.m. during market hours. And also the quarterly hogs and pigs report, which is a big report for that lean hog market. Comes out once a quarter, can really move the market if it catches it by surprise. And I got to tell you, 11 a.m. with 1 hour before the close, as we head into the Christmas holiday, it's going to be thin. So, man, I'm hoping it's a pretty quiet report. Otherwise, I mean, a real big surprise with a thin market can cause a limit up or limit down situation pretty fast, just because of the low participation. So because we are going to close early and we are leading into the holiday weekend, Monday we're closed, all the exchanges are closed, and we get back started up on Tuesday. So, Christmas Eve is the 24th on Saturday. Christmas, the usual holiday is the 26th, that's on a Sunday. So the federal holiday in terms of the banks and the exchanges, and that means us, Daniels Trading, the brokerage is being closed, gets moved to Monday. And then next week, we'll be off Monday again because of the New Year's holiday. Which, by the way, I don't know, about 14, 15 years ago, I remember when we didn't get that New Year's Day off. It was the same deal, like New Year's Eve was Saturday night, New Year's Day was Sunday, and then a Monday, I remember having to go back to work. It was a couple of years after Y2K. I was working at Goldman Sachs at the time, and I remember just feeling so gypped that we didn't get that day off. It was only that 1 year, but it definitely happened. If anyone else remembers that, let me know. Make sure I'm not making things up here. Okay, so let's talk a few things before we wrap this up. Soybeans. Let's talk soybeans. So we are breaking down here. The market has been down, I think, 3 or 4 days in a row. July soybeans are at 10.20. January soybeans closed below $10 at 9.95. You gotta make the case Jan soybean support's gonna come in. I think 9.85, so maybe 10 cents lower, and then after that it's maybe 9.55. So we can go low. Now, the reason for, or what we're hearing, the reason for the big soybean sell-off is the rains came on during the weekend and beans are lower. That's also caused some technical selling too as we broke through trend lines and support levels. Now, here's the thing. I'm looking at some of the reports coming out of Argentina. And, the improvement in the moisture levels in Argentina is not as great as a lot of people seem to think. The rains they received really didn't break the drought, it sounds like. It sounds like the rains just were too light to bring about serious additions to soil moisture reserves. And the rain that's in the forecast is light rain. So, there are places like Buenos Aires. We've had 50% normal rain in December. Cordoba, La Pampa, Santa Fe are all dry, all got less than 50% precipitation this month, and they had a dry November. And those four areas make up about 80% of total soybean production for Argentina. So we are not out of the clear yet. I would not be surprised if we bounce off one of these support levels, whether it be 985 or 955 in the front month or whatever it may be, and then we see a rally, maybe on export demand, but if we get, you know, some more reports of soybeans in Argentina not looking as good as they are. So now by the end of the year, I think it would be $1, $1.50 lower in beans. I mean, if South America gets the beans, we get the big increase in soybean acres. I mean, you can make the case there's at least a dollar of risk to the downside in the soybean market right now, just because of the amount of beans that could come on later this year. And that's true, but you know, if we're going to be dry, and we're going to continue to be dry in South America, and the rains that just happened in Argentina didn't really, you know, kind of maybe put the drought on hold, but didn't replenish soil moisture reserves, that could still rear its head. So we'll have to see how things go. I don't think soybeans are out of the clear yet. I do think that high they put in November could be the South American seasonal high, unless weather gets really bad. I mean, January getting up to 1060 again seems like a little bit of a reach. And, you know, making November getting back up to 1030, you know, probably hit a lot of resistance then too. But if we get there and you're a farmer, I think you got to be start pricing in a lot. Hold on one second here. Throughout these podcasts, I always get a phone call or two. I'm going to put you on hold and then we're going to come right back. All right, I am back. And so, anyways, long story short, with soybeans, if we, you know, we're down about 50 cents in 2 weeks, I can definitely see another rally, a weather rally coming out of South America. But the fact is, you know, when we get there, you'll probably, you know, farmers are going to probably want to price a little bit more. When we were talking in the newsletter and also in the podcast, before the sell-off, we were talking about buying $10 November soybean puts, that, you know, or doing the put spread. That was an option. There's a lot of different options, but you know, if farmers who are looking to hedge price risk and you know you're going to have the beans, you know, a couple of weeks ago those $10 puts were going for 50 cents. Now they're at almost about 70. The $9 puts, you know, that $10 $9 put spread was about 35 cents. Some of the farmers I talked to didn't love the fact that, you know, that dollar put spread cost 35. Some of them ended up buying just the $10 for 50, and then we're going to wait to see if the market came down, which it has. So now those $9 puts are going for about 25 cents. So if they bought the $10 put for 50 a couple of weeks ago, and now that $9 put is at about 25 cents, they can then put on the second half of the put spread now, and now that dollar protection only costs 25 cents instead of 35. And if you remember last week in the podcast, and or 2 weeks ago in the podcast, and also in the newsletter, I was talking about that. You don't always have to do the package now. You can always just buy, when the markets rally, you can always just buy the, you know, the put that's close to the money. You'll have to lay out some more money than you probably, you know, than you're thinking, but I mean, if you have it, or I mean, quite honestly, at those prices, a lot of bankers and lenders would get on board with that. And if you don't have a lender or banker who would be on board with that, then let me know, and I can happy to introduce you to a couple in your area, because you know these next couple of years, you're gonna have to do more marketing. I know in the past couple of years, a lot of guys got away with doing nothing, waiting for the summer to rallies to come along and sell $6-7 corn and $13 or $14 soybeans. That is just not going to happen, especially in corn. Soybeans, I've run some scenarios where I can see soybeans going to $12. You need some help. You need some South American issues. You need some U.S. weather issues. You need some big Chinese demand. But on paper, it can happen. Unlikely, but it can happen. You know, $6-7 corn. I've run the scenarios. I mean, it is amazing what has to happen for us to get back to those prices this year, at least. I mean, talking some serious crop failure next year to get stocks that low. So, anyways, That's the soybean game. I also, so I had some, now for the farmers who were hedging and who were pricing in some of their new crop, a lot of them this week as we're coming down called in and asked, well, you know, I'm selling old crop, or I have sold old crop. If I think there's an old crop story, what would you be looking at for reownership? You know, I'm not the biggest bull in the world right now on the grain markets. I mean, if you want to just do something, the January, November 17 future spread is interesting. If there is a big run-up in prices, then maybe, you know, that spread's like 7 cents. January, 7 cents over November. The low from the year is about even. I don't know. So maybe you can play new crop that way. You know, if something really does happen in South America, and, you know, old demand has to start coming back to the United States, if they get, let's say, South America, it's issues, logistical issues, you know, January and then that March contract over the front month would outperform in theory over November. That would be a way where you can probably reown for low margin and just play the spread between the two crops. Otherwise, I'd probably leave it alone. Just seems like there's too much risk to the downside in soybeans. Because if South America is a fantastic crop and we get 90 plus, let's say we get 88, 89, even 90 million acres of new crop soybeans and get a decent year in yields, I mean, all of a sudden you can really make the case for sub $9 beans by, you know, by harvest next fall. So something to keep in mind. On the next rally in beans, if I'm a farmer, I would think you'd really want to start even pricing more. If you got up to 20%, you know, this time around, great. I mean, if we're in January and February and we get up to 10:30 again in November beans, unless something crazy is going on, I would think you'd probably want to be, I don't know, 30, 40% priced. I usually don't recommend going that high, but in this year with the kind of acres and production they're tossing around, that might be the way to go with beans. Wouldn't sell calls. I don't even think I'd want to sell futures, just because you want to leave the upside protected. I'd try to buy put spreads. I like the put spreads. On the rallies, you buy the long, you know, the put you're going to be, you know, long, and then when the markets come down, you eventually sell that farther output. And I think that's the way I would play it this season. Each year is different. Just the way this year is setting up, I like that strategy. And that can change year to year, but just based on the situation in old crop U.S., the situation in South America, and the situation that we're expecting in for the new crop in U.S., that would be my method of choice. So for corn, looks more range-bound. The risk in corn seems to be a little bit more limited. I mean, if we're probably going to lose 4 to 5 million acres in corn. And if that's the case, I was just wrapping up our 2017 corn outlook. We're actually creating that report now. Hopefully we can get that out early next week. You know, you run all these scenarios. Yeah, worst case scenario, I'm seeing corn 2017 could go low as 290. And that is, I mean, everything seems like that have to go against the corn market. Like, crude would have to come back down to the 30s or 40s. The dollar have to keep on going higher. I mean, we'd have to have near record crops in South America. You know, maybe we don't lose as many acres in the United States as they think, and we have another great, like, 175 yield year. I mean, all those things have to happen, and then on the futures, I'm seeing 290 corn. With just regular growing season, and we lose about 5 or 6 million acres in corn next year to soybeans, or it just doesn't get planted in corn, you know, we could see an average price of new crop corn around 385, 380, I think, when it's all said and done. So I was a lot more bullish on the corn market and a little bit more hopeful for corn. That report should come out next week. I'll certainly let everyone know when it does, because we also go through all the different supply and demand tables and different scenarios. You know, I try to find a way to show people how we can get to $5 corn. It is so unlikely based on what has to happen, and you'll be able to see that to realize that maybe this is not the year for $5 corn. I mean, there's always a shot, right? There's always a chance, but It is definitely slim. So, two other things. Live cattle. I already talked about the cattle markets, and really the point was is the big report tomorrow, and especially for hogs too. And then finally, crude. I like to watch the spreads a lot. If you guys like the spreads too, take a look at this. Look at June versus December crude in the spread market. I think it gives a good window into, does the market think OPEC is going to be able to cut supply, and it'll be basically crude oil will turn into a market of where OPEC and the producing nations can basically turn on and turn off the crude production, and then we start to go, we're basically in price control, like the old days, or is now crude oil now going to be basically a supply-driven market with natural market supply and demand? And the reason why I bring up June versus December crude is I think if OPEC wins this thing and they can really control the market, then we're going to be trading at an inverse, meaning that the June will be trading above December. And if you go look at a chart of, let's just say, February crude, every time we try to get around that $54 area, that June-December spread gets towards zero. And then, you know, which was the height of when the market was expecting OPEC to control prices again. And once that, you know, the steam started to get out of that trade, we went back to negative prices, or a carry, as I like to call it. Right now we're minus 50. So in my mind, June Dec crude tells the story. If the market thinks OPEC is really going to control and set prices now with the way they can change production, if the market believes that and that's really going on, I think June Dec starts to trade positive. If the market doesn't believe that, if their OPEC is cheating, if you know there's more supply coming onto the market, like let's say from the United States or Canada, to basically, you know, fill in that supply that OPEC is cutting, I think we trade negative in that spread. So I actually have a zero line now in June Dec crude that in my mind is kind of like my market barometer on, is OPEC winning or is the free market winning on the crude supply? So we'll see if that's true. That's kind of the way I see it now. If you like the crude oil market, if you like the spreads, to try to, I mean, I don't think it's reading tea leaves. I think, you know, understanding the spread market really does give you a good insight about what's going on in the internals of the market. June Dec crude is what I'm watching. So that is it. I hope everyone had a great week. Enjoy the holiday. We're off Monday, half day tomorrow, and we'll all be back Tuesday. And Merry Christmas. And if you're and you know, and Happy New Year. All right. Thanks very much.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse, any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.